yours thanks to the College of the Albemarle's DARE Guarantee Scholarship Program.
Wait, what? A free college education? Is that even possible?
It sure is, thanks to the DARE Guarantee Scholarship Program funded by DARE County, which offers $250,000 to pay any COA tuition and fees not covered by financial aid and scholarships. Awards are based on availability, and additional funds may be given for books and computer needs.
This is great news. My daughter's graduating from high school soon, and I think this will be a good opportunity for her. What does it take to qualify?
To qualify, you must be a DARE County resident, have graduated from a DARE County public high school, private school, or home school, be a U.S. citizen or documented lawful permanent resident, and begin classes at COA within 24 months of graduating from high school. To find out how you can catch the wave to free education at COA, visit albemarle.edu/DARE Guarantee today.
Your immediate source for local news is the all-new News Talk 92.3 WZPR, the talk of the Outer Banks.
And we get to the WZPR breaking news hotline. Joining us now is Meg Puckett. She is the herd manager for the Corolla Wild Horse Fund. Meg, good morning. Welcome back to OBX today.
Good morning, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. First off, let's have you explain, because some people may not know, what exactly is the Corolla Wild Horse Fund and what you guys do?
Sure, yeah. So we are the nonprofit that manages the herd of horses that live up north in Swan Beach and Corova, on the 4x4 area up there. And so we're tasked with responsibly managing the horses and their habitat. So we take care of the horses, the land, and then we also have a rehab farm over on the mainland where we have horses that had to be removed from the wild due to illness, injury, and other things like that.
Now, right now, how's the herd? What's the numbers look like right now?
We're right around 100. Our management agreement that we have that's signed between us and U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the county and the state, our population that we have stated in there is between 110 and 130. So we are in good shape and we've got some room to grow. So we're hoping we see a nice, big, healthy crop of foals this year.
And that herd number, it took a while to get to that point legally because, I will say it, the federal government viewed the wild horses as an invasive species. And there was a lot of controversy over that. Eventually, late Congressman Walter Jones, they would get a bill worked through Congress to allow the herd to expand. And it's very important that the herd is at that number at least because of the health of the herd.
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, there's a really critical balance there. You know, we know that we need to have a certain number of horses so that they stay genetically healthy, because then we start running into issues with inbreeding and things like that. But at the same time, you know, we all know how fragile our ecology here is on the Outer Banks. And so we don't want to have too many horses, you know, in the area that could start damaging the land, overgrazing and that kind of thing. So that's why, you know, we work really, really hard with a lot of the wildlife experts to make sure that balance stays level there. But that was a very long process to get to that number. There are a lot of people that put a lot of work into that management agreement, and we are really proud of it. And we've got a great working relationship with all of the stakeholders now. So there was a lot of time and effort went into that to get us to where we are now with that number.
And the Corolla Wild Horse Fund was something that came out of once the Mr. Slick's gate and Earl Slick had that gate up at the county line there north of Sanderling. When that came down and access to the Currituck Outer Banks became public, the wild horses, of course, roamed all the way down to Pine Island at times. And, you know, you would have problems with the interactions between the vehicles and the horses. That's where the fund came in and really over time eventually got it so that we could protect the horses. Of course, in the late 90s, early 2000s, got them rounded up and up north of the village and in just the four-wheel drive area. But they still kind of make some inroads. I think they may remember maybe the older ones, but at the same time, it's Pinasses genetically. There's some good grazing going on down south at times, and I know you guys have some issues that you have to deal with on almost a regular basis of trying to keep them up north of the village.
Yeah. You know, I always tell people they're wild horses. Mm-hmm. So to them, a fence doesn't really mean much, right? Like, you know, people ask all the time, why do they go through the fence? Because they're wild animals. They don't know any different, you know? And when there's pretty green grass on the other side of that fence, they're going to find a way to get around it. So yeah, we do have some that wander into Corolla every once in a while, especially this time of year, because, you know, there's not a lot of grass. And so where there is grass is on people's yards, right? And so that's a big draw to them. But we have a group of volunteers that live in Corolla that are amazing. And so if I get a call at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning that somebody saw a horse, then send the word out, and those folks are out almost immediately, and they've gotten getting them back onto the 4x4 down to a science. So we've got a good team and a good program to keep the horses safe.
Meg Puckett, the herd manager for the Corolla Wild Horse Fund here on OBX Today at News Talk 92.3 WZPR. Meg, numbers-wise, any ideas how many mares might be carrying around some foals? You got any ideas on that for this year yet?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, we don't do pregnancy tests or anything like that. And a lot of times it's hard to tell. We get calls that, oh, this horse looks pregnant, and it turns out it's a stallion because they all get kind of plump going into the winter and get those big bellies. So it's kind of hard to look at them and tell. But we do use a non-hormonal contraceptive to manage the population so that we don't have mares having babies every year. And we did not dart any healthy mares in the past year. So any mare that is healthy and in good shape for breeding could potentially be pregnant. Okay. So we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Now, we ran a story over the weekend. I know you guys had a Facebook post up, and that really kind of spurred, hey, let's get you on the show today. What's going on? Because we are getting into the busy season, not like we didn't have an off season this year, because it sure didn't feel like it to some degree, like we've had in years past. And now that business is starting to pick up, now that the visitation is starting to pick up, that also means that interactions, unfortunately, and illegal interactions start picking up as well. I know that's one thing that your group along with all the different stakeholders, is trying to cut down the number of interactions that humans are having with the horses.
Right. Yeah. And you're right. You know, we're not really seeing an off season anymore. And, you know, I noticed up on the beach this weekend, there's a lot of people out, and, this time of year, just historically, the horses are not really in areas where people can see them. They tend to hang way back in the marsh, because that's where the grass is coming in right now. So, you know, there's not many horses out in more public areas, and the ones that are kind of get mobbed a little bit because they're kind of the only show in town. And we saw a lot of that going on this weekend. And, you know, I think 90% of the people who get too close don't even realize that they're doing anything harmful. So that's why we've been working really hard to educate people as to why it can be dangerous and very harmful to the horses to approach them, to, you know, entice them over to them, get too close. You know, I tell people if a horse looks at you, you're probably too close to it.
Wow, I didn't think about that. You're right. Yeah, it's exactly, because they do see you and they're like, back off, dude. Some of the ways that you're trying to educate, besides, you know, we got billboards up. I know. One thing, a couple of businesses on the mainland have got some signs out now, you know, that had put up over the last year to try and remind people. But there's all types of different ways that you guys educate, both face-to-face with visitors and beachgoers. But at the same time, you're also doing a lot of education that's passive education.
Right. Yeah. So we, you know, our social media, especially Facebook, we try to make sure that there's a little bit of education and sort of mission oriented information there in every Facebook post that we do. So that's a great way to kind of stay in touch and stay on top of some of the work that we're doing out in the field. We have a wonderful resource on our website. It's a community toolkit, and most of it is free. There's all kinds of downloads. There's a FAQ, there's posters and things like that. So If people have a rental property, or they know somebody with a rental property, they have a local business, They can go onto our website, which is corallawildhorses.org, and find that community toolkit. There's videos, all kinds of cool stuff that people can use. And then we've also, you're going to see a lot more signage up on the beach this year. We have a community project. Some citizens came together and worked on a sign project. So there's going to be some permanent signs going up along the dunes on private property saying, you know, don't feed, don't approach, that kind of thing. We've got a new informational sign going up at the Corova Park that's going to give some background and history on the horses and what we do. And another one of those is going to go up at the Arion Station, too. And that's something that we worked together with Currituck County on over the off season. So, you know, and then we've got folks on the beach. We have staff on the beach 7 days a week. So, you know, they not only do they observe the horses, but when it starts to get busy, they're talking to visitors and educating and that kind of thing. So, you know, we truly believe that education is the key to saving these horses. People need to understand why they're so important and why it's important to save them.
And, you know, I just pulled it up, and folks watching on the Facebook live feed this morning, I just pulled up that community toolkit, and it dawned on me, you know, as much as we concentrate on the number of houses that are in Corralla, this is really something that, you know, property managers and homeowners, Airbnbs, whatever you do, all the way to South Nag's Head, even on Hatteras Island, should have up, because how many people make the trip from here down, you know, here in Nag's Head, to Corralla at least once during their vacation or down to Hatteras? I mean, it's almost like you need to have this every single place in the Outer Banks, not just Corralla.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, because you're right. People, that's a huge attraction, is to come see the horses. So, you know, and that's something, again, with our outreach that we're trying to do too, is get into, you know, further south, like away from Corralla, and get into Nag's Head and do events and things like that down in the southern beaches as well. Because you're right, people travel. The horses are a huge draw. So we definitely need to hit all those folks too.
Meg Puckett with the Corralla Wild Horse Fund here on OBX Today and News Talk 92.3 WZPR. All right, Meg, this year, obviously last year, and we've been in the pandemic now for a year, you guys have a museum that has been closed. I don't know if you guys are getting close to making a decision on how that's going to work this year, or are you just still waiting to see what the state puts out as far as guidance, as far as trying to reopen so folks have that museum that's really a great educational tool that you have there in Corralla?
Yeah, we're so excited to get the museum open. It's all new. We've been working on all new content for the museum. We're back in the historic village in Corralla, and so we're really excited to open. We're thinking, kind of hard to plan too far in advance because we're not sure what the state's going to do as far as occupancy and all that kind of stuff. But our target is definitely this spring to be open. What that's going to look like, I'm not 100% sure yet. You know, if we'll have to limit the number of people who can come in because it's an old house and it's not very big. So, but we will get creative so that we can get people in the space to educate and also see all the new materials. We're super duper excited about it. And then we're also planning on starting our open houses at the farm back up after Memorial Day, like we have done in the past. You know, and that's more outside and everything. So that will be a little bit easier, I think, to get back up and running. So it's a little hard to plan too far in advance, but that's all definitely on our radar for late spring. And we've got some events on the books already too. So looking forward to getting back out there in the community for sure.
Of course, the farm up in Grandy, not right on US 158, because it's nice that you guys have a secluded spot for the horses, but it would be pretty cool to be able to drive by, as much, you know, drive by Gravedigger every morning and see the truck out there and then see the horses when you go by there next on my commute in and out. That would be pretty cool, but you guys have got a great facility, and I know that's something that you guys are really proud of, is to have somewhere for these horses to go when they need medical care, when eventually they do need to retire, if they're not able to stay on the beach, and to be able to give them a life that they otherwise would not be able to have.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's good for the horses, but it's also, you know, it's a great education facility for us. And we're also doing a lot of work right now on breed conservation and breed management. And so the horses at the farm have really kind of become the cornerstone of that research that we're doing, because they're accessible to us. You know, it's a lot easier to get tissue for a DNA sample from one of the horses on the farm than it is in the wild. So they've kind of become the cornerstone for that. So they are, you know, just because they come out of the wild doesn't mean that they lose their purpose. They still are a huge part of what we do.
All right, Meg. So somebody goes up to Corallo, they're going to bring the family, you know, got family in from out of town, never seen the horses, want to drive up to the beach. What's the rules of the road when it comes to the horses?
Well, you know, you want to stay 50 feet at all times. If you can stay further away, that's even better. Certainly don't want to feed them. You know, I think a lot of people think that they're just doing something nice by giving the horses a treat, but it is incredibly dangerous and it does kill them. We lost a foal or a yearling last year to somebody feeding him an apple. And, you know, I seriously doubt that those folks meant to kill a horse. You know, they probably just thought they were doing something nice for him, but it's very, very dangerous. And it can also habituate them and make them too comfortable around humans. So you want to keep your distance, not feed. Certainly don't want to trespass. We're seeing a lot of cases lately of people climbing up over the dunes, pulling into people's driveways and like walking around yards and things like that. You know, and that's just, you just don't want to do that. You know, I think maybe people assume that the dunes are public property, but they're not. You know, it's also very damaging too. So you just want to be respectful and be respectful of the horses, of the residents of the 4x4 area, and also the dunes and the other wildlife and all of that. So bring a long lens camera and enjoy them from a distance, because the best way to see them is in their natural habitat.
Now, if you're sitting down, one question I got before I get you to do all the info stuff, you're sitting on the beach and you got everything set up. You're sitting there where you're supposed to be between the dune line and the driving lanes in the water, and the horses come and roam right up to you. What do you do? Because we always say stay 50 feet away. What is the best way to handle that situation?
Right. Yeah, it's a good question. We get asked that a lot. So, you know, sometimes it's not possible to stay 50 feet away, you know, if the horses walk up to you on the beach or if you're driving down one of the roads and they're on the side of the road, you know, there's not 50 feet to move away. So the best thing that, you know, I say use common sense. You know, every situation is going to be different. If the horses come down to the beach and they stand next to you, they're 15 feet away and they're standing there quietly and all your stuff is set up and everybody is happy and good and you're not getting any closer, then you know, you're probably okay. You know, we can't control what the horses are going to do, and we certainly don't expect people to pack up all their stuff and move just because the horses walk down. If the horses come up and they're really close to you, they're interested in your stuff, you know, we're starting to see more cases of that because people feed them, and so they start to associate bags and things like coolers, cornhole bags with food, and they get up in your business, then, you know, move away. Get in your vehicle, move as far away as possible, and give us a call or call the non-emergency number for Currituck County, and we can get someone over there to move the horses away. And it's also good for us to know which horses are doing that, you know, which horses are habituated and are going up to people and seeking out food. We keep track of those things. So that's good information for us to have too. But when in doubt, call us. You know, we, like I said, we've got people on the beach 7 days a week, and our Currituck deputies are great. They know how to handle those situations. So when in doubt, call, and we will come and help.
All right. And what's those numbers? Because I know the number I grew up calling before we had 911 in Currituck, it's still the same number I called today. Yep. You got that number. And you got a couple of different ways to get more information about the horses themselves, but also when people see something going wrong or people see something that shouldn't be done, or you see a horse in distress, you got a couple of ways to get in contact with you.
Yep, absolutely. So the quickest way to get in touch with us is to call the non-emergency number for Currituck Dispatch, and that's 252-232-2216. And they can get in touch with me immediately. So if you call dispatch, they immediately call my cell, and then I can either get up there or get somebody to the situation. You can always call our office, but there's not always somebody there. You know, we're out in the field a lot. So during regular business hours, you can call 252-453-8002. That's our office number. But, you know, you just keep in mind that if you leave a message during off hours, we're probably not going to get it until someone's there. So that's why it's always a good idea to call that dispatch number first. And then Facebook Messenger is another good way to get in touch with us. I try to stay on top of that as much as I can. So, you know, but that Currituck dispatch number is the best way to get in touch with us, because they can get to us immediately. And then I also wanted to mention, too, we're right in the middle of our March membership drive. So if people want to get involved with us, they can go to our website, corallawildhorses.org, and become a member and help support the work that we're doing.
Meg Puckett, she's the manager, the herd manager for the Corolla Wild Horse Fund. Thanks, Meg, as always. Thanks for all the great work you're doing to preserve probably the most popular and most well-known symbols of the Currituck Outer Banks and Currituck in general, and, of course, the state horse of North Carolina.
That's right.
The state horse of North Carolina.
Yep. Well, thanks, Sam. I appreciate you having me on.
And thanks, Meg, as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
All right, 8:56 here on OBX Today. OBX Today Weather Center forecast.